Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Afternoon at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Friday. It's beautiful out there.
Yes, it is. Are we getting a good weekend, too? Do we know?
I read that maybe some rain tomorrow.
Scattered showers tomorrow, but should be mostly good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. They're saying all the way in through next week.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow we got some 66% chance of rain, according to my
Samsung. Yeah, I think that's tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think it's more afternoon. I hope so, because we have a toddler's birthday party in the morning.
Where are you guys going?
Our backyard. It's our son's third birthday.
Oh, congratulations. I was going to say, that's great for you, because then you don't have to go if it rains. But
that's exactly right.
Now, are you going to do one of those where it's way over the top, even though he has no idea what's going on, but your wife really wants to make it a big deal?
No. She has picked a theme. It's called Wild and Three, which basically means we have cups and plates that say Wild and Three. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hide some like safari animals around the backyard, and he's going to go on a safari and find them. That's the extent of the party.
Look, don't take this the wrong way, okay? But my friend, that is my worst nightmare.
Wake up in a cold sweat.
Here's the thing. Only his grandparents and one friend are coming over. We're not like inviting a bunch of kids, pretending it's a thing that we're all going
to
enjoy.
Because I always enjoy when these things happen and I have to remind people. I'm like, you realize that your kid has no idea what's going on and this is 100% for you, and yet you're complaining about it. But at least, you know.
I'm not having complaints. He's going to have a fun time.
Wait, there's no other kids there, though?
One other kid. He's three. He doesn't have friends.
He's not very popular, is he?
The other kids hate him.
Well, you know, the white privilege is real. And, you know, there's some other kids that are a little bitter and angry. You can't get any of the other trust fund kids to come over? No?
Young bucks already.
At three, they don't really have friends.
Already rubbing kids the wrong way.
Well, that's why at possible. Three, they shouldn't have parties, because they're three.
Well, that's why it's just his grandparents and one friend coming over.
But they
over.
Do it at 1 year old, too.
I know. That's the one I don't get.
One?
You realize your kid's going to crap his pants halfway through it. Like, I don't get it.
And so will grandpa. Half the field's gonna crap their pants.
My BTJ, she's got a lot of her friends that have little kids, and they're like, "You need to come to this. The kids would love to see you." I'm like, "The kid's
kids
three.
Could care less.
The kid doesn't care." Yeah, and they're like, "Well, they think you're big and fun." And I'm like, "That kid will not remember 1 second of this party, especially if I'm there or not."
You know, there are a lot of things in society that are like that, where people say them over and over and over. And I just wonder, do people think before they, like, do they ever think about, like, you really think I'm buying that? Like, the kids would love to. No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't. Exactly.
They could not give two. They didn't know who I am.
Exactly.
What are you trying to convince? Like, come up with something better than that to get me there.
Exactly. You know, say that you're going to put out or afterwards or something.
Rob,
we got
bourbon.
Yeah,
well, that might help.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, the whole kid industry, man, if you ever want to make $1 billion, just do something that preys upon insecure parents and young children. Because It's just a license to print money where mom and dad are like, my kid's going to love it.
There's just so many things like that. Like the pumpkin patch bit.
Yeah. Youth sports.
Dude, how about the sitting on Santa Claus's lap? You wait in the long line and like a lot of the times the kids are terrified.
Well, but I tell you, at least with Santa, I mean.
I'm talking about the visit to the mall where you wait to sit in his lap.
I get it. Well,
tell me there's a worse one than youth sports. Same thing. My gal last weekend was like, I'm going to a T-ball game. I'm like, excuse me? And she's like, well, my friend's kid is playing a T-ball game. And I'm like, well, which kid? And she tells me, and I'm like, isn't he like 4? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's not T-ball. It's not. It's just a bunch of parents standing around yelling at their children to run that way. Like, why are we having organized soccer or T-ball at 4? Those kids have no idea, and I mean zero, what's going on. And yet we put mitts on them and little uniforms and we bring them out to a baseball diamond. Why? Who is that? Because it's not for the kids. It's really not. That's for a bunch
of... Is it ever for the kids?
It's for a bunch of dads.
All right, coming up, Joey Harrington, 5:30. He's got shoes he's peddling, and then we'll talk a little Augusta National. Coming up tonight in the club, are there really more problems than ever on an airplane or on airplanes?
It feels like it.
It does feel like it.
But is it really?
But I have some math.
Okay.
And you know how I love math.
You do.
And we have a record wave, bro.
Tasty waves.
Tasty surf, bro. That'll be in the club 6 to 7. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com. Number five.
Got a little college basketball portal news. UConn freshman star Stephon Castle has entered the NBA draft.
He gone. I've seen in most places now him being a top 5 pick.
Yeah, they're saying he's expected to push toward the top of the lottery. He's a 6'6 guard. Good-sized guard. Now that is a big guard.
Yes.
Make that 7 Duke players who have entered the transfer portal. This in addition to the players they're losing to the NBA or graduation.
Now, they are saying that Duke's recruiting class that they're bringing in is arguably the best recruiting class in the history of college hoops.
Right, which is probably why all of the other players are leaving.
I sat down and was like, hey, listen, boys, just so you know, no guaranteed spots next year.
The latest to leave is freshman forward Sean Stewart.
Cooper Flagg, by the way, in that recruiting class as well. The presumed number one overall pick.
Future Blazer Cooper Flagg?
Well, they tank properly.
Is he really the number one pick?
Yes.
Next
he's
year?
Supposed to be.
Him and Ace
Bate.
No.
This year?
No. He's
next year. Next
Not in this year's draft. He's next year's draft.
So they're saying the only
number
one
four.
Is that Ace Bailey is another kid that they're saying may.
I like that name.
May have something, but by all accounts, Cooper Flagg will be the number one.
The Colorado Rockies are under federal investigation after video of hitting coach Hensley Mullin sitting in the cockpit of their charter flight via United surfaced on his Instagram account. That would be a clear violation of safety and operational protocol.
I love, more than anything else, when people, John Morant, they break the law and then film themselves doing it and post it to the interwebs.
Yeah.
You don't have to post those things.
No, he had to show you his how cool it was what he was doing.
Yeah. Cool move, everybody.
I do a lot of things for the gram, including break the law sometimes. Get those likes up.
Gotta do it for the gram.
His nickname's Bam Bam.
Rockies Mariners, by the way, the series opener in Denver postponed. We will not get to see Julio Rodriguez strike out again tonight.
Well, it's going a little rough. It's a little rough.
Dude, he struck out 27 times already.
What did I say? It's a little rough. Hey, I think they're only a game below 500. They're creeping towards 54%.
Another Porter brother is in trouble. I said that weird. Another Porter brother is in trouble.
Yes.
This time, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Coben, he is 22 years old. He has been sentenced to 6 years in prison.
Yeah.
This, after Jontay Porter was just kicked out of the NBA for gambling. Things are going great in the Porterhouse.
Well, do you think that Jonte is happy that his brother's going to prison because it takes some of the, like, shine off him?
Well, the shine's already off of him. He got booted from the league, and now nobody... I mean, it was a story for a day. It's like, you're an idiot.
This is terrible. Yeah, he killed a guy.
Yeah, a woman. He hit and killed a woman while driving drunk last year, so he is going to prison for 6 years.
Yeah.
We do have play in action tonight. Kings Pels later. No Zion Williamson. The winner gets Oklahoma City. And then Heat Bowls right now for the right to lose to the Celtics. Miami is up 10 in the second quarter.
Remember, if Miami goes on, they get the Celtics without Jimmy Butler. We'll be out for a couple of weeks. At least.
Number two.
Arizona State starting quarterback Jaden Rashada is transferring. Many think to Georgia to sit behind Carson Beck for a year.
Well, remember, he was the big recruit that was going back and forth between Miami and Florida, and then supposedly they didn't pay him what he thought or what was agreed upon. So that was a big hullabaloo. And so he went to Arizona State, and it was a big deal, but he wasn't any good when he was at it. I mean, he's a freshman, but he didn't light the world on fire. He didn't start the entire year. And there's some, and I don't know what to make of this, but I was reading about it today. There's some people at Arizona State that were saying that he wasn't guaranteed to be a starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, he started...
like three games?
Two games, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
In other Sun Devils news, the punishment has been handed down by the NCAA for their recruiting violations under Herm Edwards. 4 years probation, scholarship reductions, and recruiting restrictions. There are four staff members who get show causes between 3 and 10 years. Yeah. Of course, nothing for Herm.
No.
But he is not coaching. He's back in TV.
Herm will never coach again.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
By the way, all that stemmed from recruiting during COVID. Supposedly weren't allowed to bring people in. They brought everyone in. And what did they do? They took photos of it. That was the best part. They ratted themselves out again.
The two-minute warning is coming to college football for both halves.
That's good.
We anticipated this, but it was officially approved today, along with several other rules changes. Coaches can now communicate with one player through their helmet up until 15 seconds left on the play clock or when the ball is snapped, whichever comes first.
It's just like you can in the NFL, and this eliminates the whole stupid sign ceiling thing coming from Michigan.
That's right. Horse collar tackles in the tackle box are now a 15-yard personal foul. And coaches are now permitted. I know you're going to love this one. Coaches are now permitted to do interviews with media partners after the first and third quarters.
So exciting.
So cue the even less important than halftime interview.
Do you think they prefer this to like do the one running in or out of the tunnel at half?
I don't think they give two S's. There's still going to be a lot of like, what?
Who they don't want to be there either way.
Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. We're going to listen to some baseball audio coming up next. We've got a pitcher who's pissed off and had a great little interview. And, you know, this Paul Skeens guy, bro. Paul Skeens. Do you know who Paul Skeens is?
Which one's Paul Skeens?
You mean Libby Dunn's boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, the pitcher.
The pitcher.
Former LSU great.
Dude, he's mowing him down.
I haven't seen anything about him other than he was the number one overall pick, correct?
Yes. I believe he was, yeah.
He's mowing down the tail, too.
Well, Livy Dunn.
Life is good for Paul Skeens.
Yeah, you think he's doing better than Livy Dunn?
Not yet.
But he will.
He will. That's a power couple. Give that couple 5 to 10 if they stay together.
Yeah.
Dude.
And the Verlander and...
That's Kelsey and Tay-Tay. It's
Verlander Upton, yeah.
Verlander Upton, exactly.
Let's not give Livy Dunn T-Swizzle status just yet.
That's true. Is Kate Upton still with?
Yeah. They've been married since 2017.
They're still together?
They've been married a long time. I've seen the photos.
True love.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What?
What photos?
The marriage photos.
Describe them.
They were lovely. He was in a tux and she was in a wonderful dress. What are you talking about?
There might have also been an iCloud leak.
What?
You're Greg Doyle. You're Greg Doyle.
I saw the wedding photos.
You're Greg Doyle.
Why? Because I saw wedding photos?
You're creep.
Man, who would have thought that wedding photos were so controversial?
Also, Joey Harrington in 10 minutes on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Joey Harrington returns for story time coming up next. But first, a little bit of audio. You know, it's probably hard when you struggle at your profession and then you have somebody sticking a mic in your face and asking you to talk about your struggles in your profession?
Sure.
I can't imagine that's easy.
Well, it's like being confronted, like, in a relationship about being a crappy husband, and then, you know,
it's, you get a little defensive.
You get a little defensive, absolutely.
Well, I've got a couple bits of audio for you.
No one likes being told they suck.
Well, it's not that they're being told that they suck. It's just they know they suck. Yeah. They just have to elaborate on why they suck.
It's like one of these,
to someone who has no idea why they suck.
Yeah, you're terrible. Can you explain why? What happened out there?
Right.
Today?
Can you explain why you're such an ass?
No,
I cannot, actually, because I don't think I am.
Yeah, but you are.
So this is Pete Fairbanks of the Tampa Rays, Tampa Bay Rays. He is their closer, and he has sucked. And this was somebody coming at him about his blown save the other night.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific? No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that, but for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pete, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Yeah, just more of like a general, all-encompassing suck.
It's like how when someone asked me how my golf game was, and what was wrong with it? Yeah. Just a general suck.
It's not really any one thing.
Yeah, it's more of an overall.
All-encompassing type of suck.
I think we need to, can we clip that?
Yeah. Well, he did.
Do we have that
that's
now?
That's a great drop.
Yeah, that's a great drop.
All-encompassing type of suck.
Type of suck. All in.
That's a great clip. And well, by the way, kudos to him for leaning into it.
It's great.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. I think they catch these guys, they just catch them at the wrong time, you know, like right after he sucked. It's just, that's got to be hard.
Yeah. It's not good. I mean, exactly. What do you want the guy to say? You just.
No, I've got another piece of audio. I'm waiting for it.
Okay.
Okay, Jace.
I'm waiting.
It's a golfer. Mm. Also being confronted on why he sucked.
Oh. Did he handle it quite as well?
I think the golfer is a little more biting than the pitcher. At least this pitcher here, there's a little whimsy in his answers.
He leaned in a little bit, you know.
But the golfer is pissed and being an ass. Paul Skeens, by the way, before we get to Joey, and I'll play this audio here in a sec. Ryan's dumping it in there. But Paul Skeens of the Pirates, there's a lot of, he was the number one pick in the draft this year.
Yeah, out of LSU. He's got a great mustache.
And that's how he knows Livy Dunn. So they're dating. And he is in the minors. So they've already got him at AAA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so just, well, he's moving on up.
Instantly to AAA. As a matter of fact, I don't think he went lower than that. Yeah, no, he's gone. He went straight to AAA as the number one pick. He has thrown 12 and two-thirds innings. Mm-hmm. He has 27 strikeouts, and he has given up 5 hits and no runs.
Good grief.
Yeah.
So he's doing just fine.
He's dominating.
Yeah.
He throws 105 miles an hour, dude.
So when is his elbow going to blow?
Yeah, soon. That's why they should get him to the majors.
How hard does he throw, you said?
He can throw 104, 105.
Good grief.
He's filthy good.
Yeah, right until his elbow goes.
And so the Pirates are saying now that they want to build him up. He's not happy about it, yeah. But they're saying, hey, we need to build him up more, build his innings up
mm-hmm.
before we bring him up. Because they just had an injury to their starting rotation.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, well, Skeens.
Here he comes.
Dude, cannot hit him
yeah.
in the minors. So somebody did a thing yesterday on pitchers that have had this type of performance right away at this high a level. Dylan Bundy was one who was dominating in this fashion, and he was not a great starting pitcher in the majors.
Doc, the one I remember, you know, Doc Gooden came into the bigs right away at like 21 and was the best pitcher in baseball.
So it's not a guarantee Skeens is going to be great.
Yeah.
But boy, it's awful hard for them to justify having him at the minor league level right now. And people are calling for, I mean, everybody wants to see him in the majors. He wants to be in the majors. Nobody can hit him.
Well, and that's the thing is like, what if no one in AAA can hit him, what's the point of staying in AAA?
Well, like they're saying, we just want to be careful with him and just build his stamina. So here's Brian.
And he's a big guy too. Like he's not a little guy. He's
6'6".
Yeah, he's a robust
And
guy.
Libby Dunn's like 4'6".
Yeah, it's good for him.
Picture that.
Yeah. Not allowed to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, we're trying not to be creepy.
That's right. We're not. We're no Greg Doyle.
No.
But she's a spinner. So this is Brian Harmon, the lefty.
The golfer.
That everyone hates.
Yeah.
He's just kind of, I don't know, he's kind of always been a little bristly.
The waggle. He's known for the waggle.
Yes. He won the British Open last year. Here was his interview after his round today.
All right, Brian, not the way you wanted to end it there. How would you assess your round overall?
Played good except the last two holes.
Yeah. What did you do in between the week of the Masters and coming down here?
Went home. Not much. Spent the weekend at home with my family.
Okay. Can you walk us through the birdies you had on 3, 6, and
chipped in on 3. Made an 8-footer on 6, I guess. 10-footer on 9 and made a 15-footer on 13.
Okay, can you walk us through the last hole there?
No. Okay. Good? Thanks.
God!
I kind of enjoyed that, too.
It's
kind of
like when, I think it's Seve. Let's see. Yeah, it was Seve. When they asked him, Seve Ballesteros.
Yeah.
They asked him, Seve, how did you four-putt? And he said, I miss, I make. It's like that.
I just love.
Walk us through your birdies. Well, I made a putt on 9, chipped in on, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Someone commented he used 43 words in 45 seconds.
Well, the questions were bad, too. It's like.
That dude knew he was hung out to dry after the first yes. one, and then he tried to get, like, lob him the softball, yeah. and Harmon wasn't swinging.
What'd you do between the Masters and, I don't know, hung out with my family?
Oh, that's good
All
times.
Right, Ryan, not the way you wanted to end it.
All right, coming up next, Joey Harrington. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Story time with Joey Harrington, and here he is. We have sneakers to pedal today.
I do like sneakers.
I know you do.
I like booze and sneakers, so whenever Joey's pedaling something, it's in my wheelhouse.
Are you a sneakerhead?
Mildly. I don't go crazy like some people, but I enjoy sneakers.
Joey, are you a sneakerhead?
Okay. Well, here's what you did is you came out. You didn't bury the lead, I think. Well, you kind of did. Because for me, the lead was you talking about Augusta. But now we jumped right into sneakers. And so I can't not talk about sneakers. So am I a sneakerhead? No, I'm not. What I do, because I didn't have I think we've talked about this. I didn't have my first pair of Jordans until I was like 34, I think.
What?
I had already retired. And for me, it was like, oh, yeah, okay, I know. Because, you know, I did the whole Oregon thing and got to know people. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know Tinker. And it's like, oh, yeah, he did those. Okay, cool, I should get a pair. And then, you know, kind of getting to know, it's like, well, yeah, Peter Moore, like, you know, he lived down the street. He designed the All Saints auction posters that were in my basement. Like, okay, so I'll get some ones. And then, you know, we kind of get down that path. And then, like, I was wearing something coaching Jack's basketball team. And it had been one of those days where it's like, hey, Jack, how was school? Fine. Did you do anything fun? No. Like, you can't get an answer out of your teenager, right? Yeah. But then all of a sudden, like, I had some cool shoes on, and one of his buddies at practice was like, oh, tell me about that. And, oh, well, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I don't know. I tell you, there were some Oregon shoes. And, like, all of a sudden, just, like, they just start talking and opening up and just, like, start sharing all this, like, oh yeah, well, so I got, you know, I got these are the 29s, the good duck, bad ducks. Oh, really? Oh, how, tell me, how was the science class today? Oh my God, it was so great. And it's like, it became like this conduit to have conversations with my kids. So the long story longer is, am I a sneakerhead? No. Do I love the connection to Portland and the history of sport in our state, and more specifically, like, the neighborhood and community? Absolutely. Has it become something that my kids and I can connect over? Yes. Is it something that I can now raise money for a scholarship to send students from all over the state of Oregon to college? Yes. So if that constitutes being a sneakerhead, then I'm a sneakerhead.
Sneaks are a bridge to the kids. I love that.
It is the one thing that I have that young people think doesn't suck. whenever I wear a pair out, it's always a little jarring when someone young comes up to me and I'm waiting for something horrible and offensive to come.
What are those?
And you always get a man. It's like, hey, old man, like, those are slick. And then you're like, all right, I'm not completely lame.
I knew I was onto something when Jack had a buddy over, you know, a while ago, and I was like, all right, where are Jack and his friend? And then I hear, like, dun, 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 on the steps coming down from upstairs. So I was like, what were you guys doing up there? And they're like, nothing. What were you doing? And his buddy says, Jack was showing me you're one of six Harrington Family Foundation Jordans and the Jordan 11s that were signed by Michael. And I was like, what were you doing up there? And, you know, he's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So yeah, I knew there's a little pathway in. Yeah.
Well,
like you said, we don't all suck.
Two amazing things in the world that Joey has figured out people really want: rare bourbon and sneaks.
Yeah. And when you're talking about one of seven sneakers, like, that's, For real sneakerheads,
especially Jordan,
that's holy grail type stuff.
So what do we got? We're auctioning some sneakers off.
Two pair.
Raffling. So say, right, it's big difference. Not an auction.
That's
not
right,
not
right.
You have,
right,
to be the highest bidder. Two pair, $40. Right. Figure 20 pair or $20 per pair. So it's the Harrington Family Foundation Jordan ones. And so here's the thing. Okay, well, I'll tell what it is. It's the Harrington Family Foundation Jordan ones, and it's the Jordan one off-white Chicago's. So, but the ones, the Harrington Family Foundation ones, I can't verify this except for through word of mouth from the man himself, right? So I get a box of shoes that show up. There's six in it, right? And so the mock-up, the design sheet, he said, Tinker says, you know, these shoes are one of five because five are going to be auctioned off. Or raffled off, excuse me, I did the same thing. Five are going to be raffled off. I got one pair, so there's the sixth. And we're doing an interview last year was the first year of the raffle, to kind of kick things off. And he reaches behind and he grabs another pair. He's like, oh yeah, and I got these too. I was like, where did those come from? He's like, well, don't think I was going to make a Harrington Family Foundation, like a Northeast Portland Jordan, and not make one for myself. So there is actually a seventh pair that he signed and just gave to me a couple weeks ago to use as kind of like our final another four or five years. However, the thing that I thought was really interesting is, so Peter Moore, also Northeast Portland, designed the ones and the twos. Tinker started with the threes. When Tinker did these, the Harrington Family Foundation ones, he said it was the only Jordan one that he's ever designed.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was like, are you serious? You've never done? He's like, no, that was Peter's design, and I've never done a Jordan one before. So this is the first and only one. I was like, man, that makes it even more. So it's one of seven. I have a pair. Tinker had a pair. Now, you know, he gave it to raffle off, and it's the only one that he's done. So there's some holy grail fun story time.
Yeah, that's some like,
wow.
If you're a sneakerhead, like the, I mean, just do you have a pair of like the Pit Crew, like the Jordan 3s? Did you ever get a pair?
I do have a pair of the Pit Crews. Yeah. I was the first president, founding member of the Pit Crew.
That's why I figured you had a pair. Like, just, you know, for non-sneakerheads like that, like that pair that went to the original founders of the Pit Crew, like those on the secondary market go for like 30 G's. Like, it's the rarer you get, it's like anything else. The rarer you get, it's people get a little excited about that. So when you're talking about one of six or one of seven, this is a really cool opportunity for sneakerheads to get some really, really limited edition shoes.
Well, the cool thing that I remember was it Union Gospel Mission a couple months ago?
Yeah.
That had the pair show up, the gold. And they took them to Tinker for authentication to, you know, make sure everything was real, and, you know, had some ideas about what they should do with them. And he's like, no, I'd send them to like Sotheby's auction house or something.
Yeah.
I think they got like $50,000 for them.
Yeah, they were. Spike Lee had a pair of Jordans. I don't remember what number they were, but he had a pair of Jordans that he had made up for him for the Oscars. Gold Jordans. I want to say they were threes or fours. But yeah, and they showed up at the Gospel Mission. Somehow someone dropped them off. And so someone was like, yeah, you might want to go ahead and do something with those.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say that they weren't just accidentally dropped in a donation basket.
Probably not.
How about that? Yeah. How about let's say this is the community taking care of the community.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool that we can do this with sneakers, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
So $40 raffle tickets. Where do people go and how long do they have to get the tickets?
HarringtonFamilyFoundation.org. My Twitter. What is my Twitter account? At Joey something or Joey 3 Harrington. Yeah, I don't. I'm a social media influencer.
You are. You're a big deal.
We're just gonna push it out everywhere. Just you'll be able to find it. Just
at
Joey
3 Harrington.
Yeah, at Joey 3 Harrington.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go. Okay. Two weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks. In 2 weeks, you'll have a diamond.
2 weeks.
So you have 2 weeks. You can buy as many as you want, right?
You could buy I think we have to cap it, you know, because technically it's gambling and we have to set your odds of winning. But, you know, I think it's capped at like 5,000 tickets. Last year, I think we sold like 750 tickets.
Well, let's get
maybe
more.
1,000.
Okay.
You know, so really, I mean, your odds are pretty dang good for $40. And if you buy two tickets, then your odds are twice as good.
I have an old man question because I understand none of this. Do you wear the shoes that you got?
I don't.
Yeah.
Really?
You do?
Yeah. Of course, they're shoes.
Yeah. See, that's what I think. But a lot of people would like laugh at me for asking that.
Well,
question.
Like I wear mine. I wear mine out about. I have like two or three pair that I save for like nicer weather days. But I don't have anything that's rare. But if you wear a pair of these out,
that's baller.
You've got some. Yeah, those are some stones.
That's baller.
That's a baller move.
Also, conversation starter for
yes,
those who notice.
Yes,
you know.
It is.
Nice.
Well, so I did a podcast yesterday. It's going to come out this week for, you know, in promotion of the raffle, and we're going through, you know, some of my sneakers. And, you know, pulled the ones out that I, the One's the Harrington Family Foundation ones, and I wear them, and there's a pretty decent scuff on them. So, but it's like, and he, you know, he was like, "Oh my God, there's a scuff," and I was like, "Oh my God, there's shoes. Like, you're supposed to wear them." Like,
you know, that's refreshing.
What happens when you wear shoes?
That's right. Yeah. They're shoes. They're shoes. Put them on your feetsies. Yeah,
except they're one of six yeah. Jordans, though.
Come on, man.
Somewhere, some sneakerhead is just staring a hole.
Yeah. What
through.
Are you gonna do with them? Put them in a closet?
Well, for some people, yes, they do. They.
That's weird to me.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get
well,
the
It's like people
thing.
That collect like toys or whatever and they yeah. don't play with them.
Yeah, but
it's...
toys aren't supposed to be on your feet.
But you're supposed to play
to
with
protect
them.
Your...
Okay, but here's the thing too. Here's the thing too. Okay, I can understand if I'm going to buy something as an investment, right?
Yes.
So I win this pair of Jordans and I have it as an investment to, you know, I'm going to hold on to it for 20 years and then I'm going to sell it for $40,000 and send my kids to college. I get that, right? But that's not my situation. My situation was I was gifted something yes. from the kindness of somebody's heart to do something with this to make other people's lives better. And here's your pair. So how much of a jerk would I be if I was like, yeah, you know that pair that you gave me? I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to sell that. I'm going to sell that one, and I'm going to send my kid to college. No, I'm going to wear them because it was a gift, and it was an incredibly kind gift from an incredibly thoughtful person who's trying to take care of the community. So there you go.
Okay.
Well, just know that right now, like the Pit Crew Jordans that we were talking that he has a pair – right now on the secondary market, those are about $22,000 for a well-worn pair.
Wow. Oh, my God.
But people are asking $22,000. Nobody's paying more than like $4,000 or $5,000.
Is that all?
Oh, well,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's all, you know.
All right. Well, do you want to talk about Augusta?
Yes. Tell me all about it.
I'm going to. I'm going to. We have to break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about my white privilege.
It is. It is very white, and it is very privileged.
Yeah, but there's only so much I can tell you.
What's the world? Oh, the worldwide weasel. That's what it is. Yeah. We're gonna brainstorm on this a little bit more.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Suk and I had some good info or some good thoughts about doing a Children's Miracle Network. Oh. For college football players.
Okay. Well, suddenly a lot to get to. We'll be right back with our friend Joey Harrington with Storytime here on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back with our friend Joey Harrington. We got the shoes discussed, and now Augusta National. Hello, friends. Have you ever been?
Hello, friends. I went, my dad and I were just talking about this. I went 02, 03, 04,
I thought I had
08.
One.
No.
I thought I had one on him.
No. Has he been? He just rattled. I asked
02,
him.
04,
I asked him that last week too, and he had to sit there and rattle him off.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I may have one on you, and I can only say so much. But wait, the last year you were there was 2008?
Correct. That was Trevor Immelman.
Okay. My buddy was there that year.
It was a pretty boring Sunday.
Was it? So was this one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This was built in 2012, but, and this is all I can tell you is research Berkman's place. I was invited into Berkman's place. And let me tell you something. I've never seen anything like, there is nothing like it in sports. Let's put it that way. So I do have one on
you. B-I or B-E?
B-E-R-C-K-M-A-N, Berkman's place. It's named after, I think the Berkman family was the original family that owned the land that Augusta National Golf Club sits on. And they were, I forget what they were growing there, but that's the original.
You don't want to look into that family, by the way. If they owned that land back in the day, that's, you don't want to do that.
Just well, I think they're wonderful.
Wait, hold on. Berkman's place, what is it? And how do you get there? Behind the VIP area at the Masters?
Yeah. And look, just do it on
VIP
your own time.
Area at the Masters?
I was invited. And, dude, there's nothing like it. Okay, here's one little nugget.
You can't just stop
I kind of have to. Look,
Is it like an NDA kind of thing?
Dude,
like
it's
if you say something, then like some guy's gonna pop out of the woodwork and like slice your throat, or what? What do you?
It's called discretion, okay? And I have it.
Not often, but
yeah.
When it comes to the
only
Masters,
in this instance.
Only in this instance, yes.
No, I got really lucky to get invited, but it's incredible. The two little bits of information. One, Peyton Manning was the greeter. The Peyton Manning, my new close personal friend, Peyton Manning, was just greeting people as they walked in. And two, they have replica greens of 7, 14, and 16. They are the exact same size, and they are running at the exact same stemp as they are at the Masters. And when you walk in, they hand you a $500 putter and a little ball with a Masters logo on it. Real Augusta National caddies are standing there, and they whisk you onto the greens and have you putt. So you get a feel for what it's like to actually putt on the real greens. And let me tell you something, dude. I knew it was hard. I've been there. You know, the Masters, we've all watched it. We know how hard it is. We know how undulated the greens are. We know how slick they are. It's a whole nother level to get a feel for actually putting the ball. Like, there was one where, you know, the hole's way down to the left. It's probably a 25-foot putt. The kid says, "Where are you going to hit this?" I said, I'm going to hit it about right there. And he goes, no. Hit it at my feet way over here. He's like 15 feet to the right, and I have to hit a 25-foot putt about 3 feet, and it's just gonna curl down to the hole. Like, it's just, dude, it – that.
Do they have the mounds on 14,
yes.
The two mounds, like, right in front?
Yep. It's all there.
Well, they're like 6 feet tall. Those things are massive.
The 14 is the two-tiered, right? I think it's two. Yeah, I think it's two-tiered. But I can't remember exactly what the green looks like. But yeah, they're exact replicas.
Someone asked the question, and we can get back to more of the NDAs that Rob had to sign. But while you were gone, this was floating around Twitter, where someone posed the question: if you had to play the Masters, and you got to start from the green, right? Like, everyone else has to play the tee. Like, you're playing against Scottie Scheffler and everyone else, and they're playing their regular round. You get to start on the green, but you start from the furthest place from the hole. Wherever the hole is at, wherever the furthest, you are on the fringe of the green. And you have to, all you have to do is putt. You're starting the green. Do you win the Masters?
So,
Rob?
So I need to shoot...
What, 11?
What was he, 11 or 12 under?
11 or 12. So on any given time, you're somewhere between, you know, 8 to 15 under.
18 holes.
You have to four putt most of the greens.
Yes.
I have to be under a four putt for a few of them.
Sorry, you got to four putt all the greens, and you have to three putt a few of them.
A few of them. Ooh.
Could you win the Masters starting from the green?
And I mean, I know the greens from TV, but I haven't been able to practice.
You've never played them?
Oh, no. You know the greens because you've been on the replicas. You're the only one who knows, like, this is story time with Rob now. You're the only one who has firsthand, tangible experience putting on a Augusta green.
Yeah, I thought it is because you have putted on the greens.
This is it's an amazing question.
Yeah.
Story time with Isace. Oh, no, that's what it was. At the Copa Isace. Right?
Yeah, yes. We've rebranded Club 1080 to go along with your rebrand. It's now Copa Isace.
I love that. So I would have said, before putting on replica greens at Augusta National, I would have said, of course I can do that.
Yeah.
But after having putted there, I don't think I could do that.
Interesting.
Dude, it is really, 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 really hard. And some of those putts, I mean, we watched a few holes where those guys, a guy like me would, if you miss it by 2 feet, you're now chipping. Yeah. Like, now what do you do? Now you're off the green.
Off the green.
So I got to put that back up there, and there's another three putt. Like, dude, no, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I win the Masters.
Interesting.
No.
Starting from the green.
Yeah, dude, no, I don't think. Joey, do you think you could? I don't think I could.
I'm trying to think of, like, so the pin is on, let's say the pin is on the front shelf on 9. And so that means you're all the way on the back tier. You're on the third tier back on 9?
Yes.
So you have to trickle. And it's like waterfall over the first, to waterfall over the second, to hope it stays on the green. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you think about some of these placements,
yeah.
And the, like I was saying, the mounds, those two mounds on the front of 14, as you're standing on the front of the green, like before you get up there, they're like 6 feet tall. Yeah. Like it, this thing is and they funnel everything down to that front edge and off the front.
Yeah.
So again, like if you miss to one side, you get funneled off the green.
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
So that was me. I immediately was like, not only would I not win the Masters, but I don't know if I make the cut. And of course, every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's ever picked up a golf club is like, what are you talking about? Green jacket. Sure. You keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, Joey's right. It's just hard to get it's hard to put into words. But that's why those guys always talk about, like, you have to miss in the right spots. Yes. If you miss in the wrong spots, and you're saying you're starting at pretty much the wrong spot on every green.
Every green. Furthest.
Exactly. You're dead. You're dead. That's why that tournament's great.
Oh, my God. What? Trying to think about some of those, the green on three, like that tiny little green that just like slides down into the bunker.
That was one I was thinking of where I think if you hit it by a foot,
you're in the bunker.
You're off. Yeah. You're off the back of the green.
Yeah. If you're on the high side, like that thing is flying. So where were you sitting? Okay. We're going to come back. Okay. We're going to revisit the, what's it? Birkenstock place. What's
it called? It's called Berkman's Place. It's the most incredible.
We'll come back to that. We'll have an entire show about that.
I can't tell you much more.
Oh, we're going to get it out of you. I want to know where you were sitting. You had one round at Augusta. So,
Well, we
walked. Where did you choose to sit?
We walked the whole course, but as you know, you buy chairs at the beginning and then you set them where you want to sit later when you get tired. We put ours right behind the flag, just a little bit behind and left. If you're at the front of the green looking back at the flag on 16. And the highlight of the day, we happened to be sitting
Hold on. You were on the hill?
So you know where the bunker is on 16. So it's the par 3. So you got the bunker and the flag is right behind the bunker. And that it's that area for those that are novices. It's that area where Tiger hit that famous chip.
Where Tiger rolled it in.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were sitting on that side over there.
Back there, yeah, because it's shaded back there. And we're about third row. Here's a pro tip if you ever go to the Masters. Make sure your seats when you set them down are just slightly elevated over the ones in front of you. Because once it gets full, it's hard to see around all those fat heads.
And then you can't stand up.
You don't want to stand up. So anyway, it was kind of hard to see. But the coolest moment that happened while we were sitting back there was Tiger nearly holing out of the bunker on 16. But once the leaders came through on 16 on Sunday, it was all but over. Scheffler birdied it. And that was cool. But the tournament was in hand. So we sat there. Another really cool place, and you may agree with this, is three on the corner of three green. You can watch them tee off on the par 3 fourth. That's a pretty cool spot. And then I thought one of the best places is 13, the par 5 over the water. If you're standing on the other side of 14 green, there's a grandstand there. We never went to the grandstands. We were just walking. But if you're standing there, you can watch the balls come in on 13 and then watch them tee off on 14. And there's not a lot of people over there, and it's very shaded. So those were my favorite places on the course. How about you?
We would sit. So most you have to walk the place. Like you have to walk it. And so we would go, you know, those years we'd go for all four rounds. And so we'd take a day and we'd spend an entire day walking. Or then we'd take a day and we'd walk the morning and post up. The places that I thought had the best, we would post on Sunday in the grandstand as high left as you can on 15.
15, yeah.
Because then you can watch everything coming in on 15, and there's going to be some drama on a par 5 with the water, and then you can sit and watch them tee off on 16.
You can watch
the whole 16th hole.
That's probably the best spot on the whole course right there.
Well, I was going to say, if you can get a spot, there are a few spots in the grandstand on 12 where you can see the approaches coming in on 11, you can see the 12th hole, and you can see them heading out 13. So, like, that's the key, is to try and find a spot where you can get multiple vantage points.
I found 12 a little overrated only because it's way over the water and you can't really see back there.
True, true. true. That's why my point is, like, you could also see the 11 and you could see some of the tee balls on 13.
Rob found the just normal Augusta experience a bit overrated. Once you've been to super secret VIP places, he sloughs off the number 12 and
So here's my it's story time, right? So here's the Augusta story time. My dad and I went in 04 in Arnold Palmer's last year, and we're walking up 11. This is before they had tiger proofed 11, and everybody would just bail out to the right. You're walking up 11, and it's just trees all up the right side now, right?
They've changed it. They've taken some out on the right.
Well, it used to be completely just once you got up about 200 yards past the off the tee box, it used to open up all the way to the right, and so people would bail. And so this was Arnold Palmer's last year, and we just happened to be walking, you know, we're kind of doing our stroll through the course, and this ball goes bump, 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 like bounces right by my feet, and it just comes to a stop, and, you know, everybody runs over, you know, like people do at golf tournaments. So I was like, Dad, let's stand here, you know, see who shows up. Sure enough, strolling down the fairway comes Arnie, the king.
Oh, gosh.
And he walks up to the ball. And he looks at it, you know, in the fairway, and, you know, he's not hitting the ball very far at this point. And, the Masters had done a great thing in his final round, taken all of his scores off the leaderboard. Mm. So, you know, as he was going around, just said Palmer, and it didn't post his score. But you could tell he was tired, and he was ready to call it a day. And he walks up and looks at his ball buried in the rough and looks at 11, and he goes, Jesus. Who wants to go back to the clubhouse and get a drink? And everybody was like, yeah, let's do it.
That's awesome.
And he grabs a 5-iron or whatever it is and just goes whack and takes a cut at this thing, boom, boom, runs it right up onto the front of the green, and the place went absolutely crazy.
Those guys are nuts. I have a very similar story with Phil Mickelson. Standing on 10, watching the shots on 10, we hear a ball hit behind us. Well, that's the trees on 18. And so we're like, oh, let's see who this is, because we can't see who hit it. And up saunters Phil Mickelson. He's like 100 yards ahead of his caddy. His caddy's like running to catch him. This is on Friday. He is going to miss the cut, so he's on his last hole. That dude wants out of there so bad, much like Arnie. Doesn't say a word. His caddy is like racing up to get him a club. He doesn't worry about yardage. He tells him nothing. He grabs a club, whacks it. And it freaking flies all the way out of there over the trees. I don't think he hit the green, but he got it completely out of there. And I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't hit that shot in 100 tries. And he did it without even caring.
He's like, whatever.
And then his jet was probably fueled up, ready to go. He puts out, makes bogey, and he's out of there.
Thanks for coming.
Those guys, man. Well, it's an awesome experience. So
it is. Are we out of time? Is that the
Yeah, we're getting close, but let's squeeze in one more.
Okay, one more. So we're following Padraig when he was tied for the lead. Would have been like, I think it might have been 04. And so on 18, he yanks one left of the TV tower. And he's behind the TV tower having to play back over the top. And, you know, they rush around and crowd it. He looks at this thing, and he hits a wedge, flops this thing over the top of Jim Nance, and drops it, dum, 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 you know, 3 feet from the pin. Taps his par and goes on. Yeah, I think he finished fourth that year. But what happened is he hit this incredible wedge shot, and this divot just flies through the air and boom, lands right at my feet. As everybody's going crazy, I pick up the divot and I put it in my pocket. And later on that night, I was like, hey, I've got your divot. Can you sign? We were at dinner. I was like, hey, can you sign a flag to my dad? I'm going to frame the divot with the flag, and you know, I'm going to get a picture of you hitting that shot. So I got it framed, and then I lost the divot.
Oh, what? Dude. What happened to the divot?
I thought you were going
to
say Augusta National tackled you.
Exactly. I thought they were going to tell you like they you weren't allowed to take it.
Oh, I'm sure they would tell me that, but that's probably what happened. It was in the back of my car. It was in the trunk of my car. I just had it stuck, and somebody probably came in
and they
broke into my car and they stole it. There was probably GPS tracking on the grass.
I guarantee there was.
That would have been so cool.
That club does not mess around, man. No. That place is so
magical. Let me tell you about the time I went to the Master. Oh, wait. Yeah, I don't have one.
Your day will come.
I haven't been.
Your day will come. All right. Well, there's story time with me.
Yeah.
Thank
you. I was at Rose City the other day, though, and hit a beautiful 5-iron. Let me tell you, it was the course was in immaculate shape. It's the same thing.
Frame that divot.
There we go. We're at the Copa. Copa Esace.
Thank you. Thank
Where
you so
stories
much.
And stories they're told just at the Copa. You're supposed to go to breakout. It's been like you fade out. Goodbye.
All right, bye, Joey. Thank you. Mods PDX, the future of building, is here. Club 1080 is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.